Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, the Buffalo Bills are finally doing better than the Carolina Panthers co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
Is it over?
It's over. They've got Saturday.
No, so. I mean, is 2020 over?
Oh, 2020 is wicked, wicked over, dude. I'm all about that. So we'll get right into that. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. We took last week off just because, well, there wasn't much going on.
No.
But before we begin tonight's show, we do want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, we assume someday if COVID ever decides to finally get the hell out of this country, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place in gaming. Now, they have a great website, KGS, that's KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. However, right now, we're not sure that our 5% code is working. They are working on it. It used to be Planestalkers 2020, but coincidentally, that seemed to expire on December 31st. So Steve has told me he is going to look into it. So I'll be updating you guys as soon as we have the new information. But for right now, we're doing pretty good. We also want to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Brian, David, Jonathan, Johnny, Bell, Anthony, Steve, Mark, George, Josh, Zach, Ian, and Randy. Listen, you guys, you keep the lights on. You keep everything running, man. We cannot do this show without you guys. We're very thankful for you. Now you're going to get some of your perks because we're going into our Winnabox program for the Caldime.
Yep.
Which our patrons are right now, they're the only ones that can sign up. After tonight's show, we open it up to our listeners and people on the Discord. So if you're a patron and you're listening to this, and whether you're Planeswalker level or you're just a basic, you're eligible. Just make sure you go to the Discord because we're using Discord mainly now. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
To find out more, how you could help the show, if you want to get into these drawings that we're having, we're going to make some changes here. We did have our call this week. Go to patreon.com/planestalkers. Finally, we want to remind you guys that we are a featured top 25 MTG podcast on FeedSpot. You can go to blog.feedspot.com/magic_the_gathering_podcast.
Too many freaking underscores.
Dear God. No, eventually I'm going to just put a pointer in there. But
yeah.
For right now, just go there. It's magic_the_gathering_podcast. And you can find us. We're number 14. So check them out. And we want to remind you that we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planestalkers Network of Podcasts. We do have a sister show, Commander Craft. It's been on a brief hiatus thanks to coronavirus. One of the hosts actually got nailed. So they're getting their show ready. They're going to relaunch here very shortly. You can find more about them on Commander Craft MTG on the web, social media, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, the whole nine. So Commander Craft MTG, they talk all about EDH. But we're still an untap, and it's a new year, so it's a new me, Aramis. So I'm going to untap an older beer. I'm drinking more Elysian Space Dust.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
How the hell are you, my friend?
I am good. I was worried there for a moment that we'd be sitting there on New Year's Eve watching the clock go to midnight, and then
December
it would go 32nd. From 12 o'clock. It would go from 11:59 on December 31st, 2020, to 12 o'clock midnight on December 32nd, 2020.
Yes, yes.
I
exactly.
Swear to God that was what was going to happen.
So even better, January 1st, 2020. We're going to do this again
until
we get it right.
2020 with a little star because it's the hard mode enabled. And I was like, oh, thank God that little zero turned into a one.
You know, I thought that. I did. I thought that. But God damn it, if 2021 didn't say hold my beer.
2021's off to a start. It's off to a start. That's all I'll say. It's off to a start.
I mean, damn. Dude, all right. Who had a buffalo trying to take over the Capitol building in an attempted coup for January? Who was that? I'm
checking my apocalypse bingo card. I think that was on 2012, but
oh shit.
Is that still valid? 9 years old?
Yeah, I mean, wow, that just, again, Not that we didn't see this coming.
No, yeah, this was a train wreck that we knew was going to happen, but
you know, absolutely, and it's definitely one of those moments. So you know, and look, I fixed it.
Yay!
Hey, see now, you know, yeah.
Train noises! Yay! Carnage!
2021 is off to a fantastic start.
Oh, fantastic!
So yeah, it's just it's a whole lot of fun. So. Yeah. How the hell are you otherwise, dude?
Other than all of that, things are going pretty well. You know, new year, new set coming out. Can't wait to start talking about it. And football playoffs, like you said, Bills won a game. My mom was a longtime Bills fan. I grew up a Bills fan until I jumped to Carolina. So it's always good for me. I always feel good when they're doing well and they're finally doing well. Cleveland won a game, which is awesome. So
yes, Cleveland. You know what? As much as I was a fan of, and I gotta admit, okay, I'm a dyed in the cloth Miami Dolphin fan. Yeah. I mean, this is not news to anyone out there. And listen, I was as surprised as anyone at how well they did this year. They did a lot better than I thought they would do. I think they've got a run in them in 2 or 3 years. The quarterback situation seems to be their best it's been in a while.
They might be trading Tua.
No.
Deshaun Watson.
I can get behind that.
That's the rumor right now is that Deshaun Watson might go to the Miami Dolphins.
The problem is Trent Edwards is not. He's like 900.
They got to stick with Tua. That's all I'm going to say. They need to stick with the kid.
Yeah. God damn it.
Stick with the kid. They'll be fine.
But in any event.
Yeah, any event.
It felt good to see the hometown team like actually show up and play the game, you know? Mm-hmm. It was, I was watching a lot of the game. The wife and I actually, my dad, you know, I love it. He's like, stay safe. Don't go to dinner. Merry Christmas. Here's a Texas Roadhouse gift card. Okay. okay. So we went out. We I'll say this. We've gone out to a few restaurants. Texas Roadhouse did it safer than anybody I've seen yet. They weren't letting anyone over 8 come in the doors, which we have seen at 2 different other places, including Red Lobster. They weren't, you know, they were really, really good about social distancing. Their waitresses were 100% masked up. And I'm sorry, there's crack in them damn rolls, man. So
I've only been there once, but I can attest to that.
Yes. So the fact is, you know, we went to dinner and we had a nice dinner, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, the game's on and I don't have cable anymore. I cut the cord a long time ago. So I was very excited that I'm watching the game. And I was watching it, and I'm like, no, they're making rookie mistakes. The Bills are not going to the Super Bowl. Listen, Buffalo fans, just understand this. They're not ready to go to the big game yet.
You know what?
They are not.
Mini combat right here. If Kansas City somehow loses next week.
How are they losing?
To Cleveland. If by some miracle Kansas City loses, Buffalo go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, now you got to ask yourself this, okay? All right, let's say that this pie in the sky happens. That's also the apocalypse bingo card. Who had Cleveland versus Buffalo in the AFC Championship game?
Not this guy. I mean, honestly, I think KC is going to destroy Cleveland. I feel kind of bad for him.
Oh, KC is going to make them. Yes, Nick, your money's on the Steelers. Good call.
They lost.
I bet you enjoyed having
night.
Money. Yeah.
First snap of the game, what happened?
They lost horribly last night.
The very first snap, it goes woo over his head. Where'd it go?
Wow, that was. Hey, what's. And it was Roethlisberger's head, which he's like 900 feet tall.
I know. So. It cleared him. It was great.
It was definitely something.
I love football.
I do too. And, you know, I know this is a Magic Cast. We're not going to sit on football all day long, but. You know, yeah, I would like to see. I kind of want to. The Bills ain't going all the way. Let's be honest.
It would be nice.
They're gonna have some. And for those of you who don't know, we're talking sport ball right now, so forgive me.
It would be nice. That's all. Be really nice to see. Because I don't really feel anybody in the NFC this year.
Yeah, I definitely. I don't know who could do it. I really don't. So. I accidentally posted into the Ask the Judge. Whoops. I might get banned. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're done.
Screw them if they can't take a goddamn joke. All right. So, moving on. We have a pretty good show tonight. We did take – we took a week off last week mainly because we were like – we looked through the news and we looked through – we were like, Yeah, card previews. We did that last week. And, well, we could talk about ourselves because it's our two-year anniversary. Nah, that's kind of lame. Let's come back next week. So that's why we took last week off. We did play Commander Craft where I did win a game, and Aramis did not. And so anyway.
Let you not win.
So we have a great show tonight. So we're going to go through some of the Kaldheim previews tonight. We're going to talk about the new set. Aramis and I each picked about 5 cards. Now this may lead us to other cards to talk about. I mean, we're not going to be, you know, militant about it by any stretch of the imagination. If it takes us somewhere, we're going to go follow it. We have a combat tonight we're going to talk about. And then we're going to go in main 2. We're going to talk about some second season, because this is the start of our third season. So I even have, like, clips.
Ooh.
I even grabbed clips. Yes, that's right. I am prepared.
I like highlights.
I did show prep.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, and it might be one of your favorite bits on the show. It might have made our cut. I only had 2 because, damn it, I'm tired.
Oh,
but
cool.
Yeah. Well. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You look at you grinning like
I already know what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Well, let's get right to it. Let's go to main phase.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So you might have heard, folks. Magic Wizards is releasing a new set very, very soon, as in like end of month. Did you pre-order yet?
Oh, I pre-ordered like a few weeks ago.
I want to pre-order, but I can't get the code on the website.
Oh, I did it before the code expired.
Yeah, I should have done it then. Shut up. So we've got Kaldheim coming, which is, for those of you that don't know, Kaldheim is, you know what? I'm going to talk about this for just a second. It seems like since they've had to do the COVID thing, the release videos released on Twitch by Magic have gotten more and more lame.
Campy.
Jive.
I was okay with it until the air guitar.
I wasn't okay with any of it. I'm like, first of all, the minute you start calling yourself metal, you cease to be metal. Like, it's like,
I looked past
and then you look at Jimmy Wong and you're just like, you have no idea who these people are. You have no, you're afraid they're going to mug you. Like, I mean, he did. It was so lame.
I do like that they asked metal bands to, you know, like write songs for the expansion and to like to preview cards and talk about the game. I do like that because it shows the broader appeal of the game to not just, you know, kitchen table folks.
It all seemed cheesy and lame to me. But
anyway. You're old. What do you want?
I know. I'm wicked old. So. But Kaldheim is, like, based around a little bit of Norse mythology. Yeah, a lot of Norse mythology. So, I mean, Vikings and giants and frost giants and snow. And we get... I mean, and I think that's the biggest, you know, let's not bury the lead. I mean, snow is back.
Yes, that's a big deal.
Snow lands are coming back. They printed some snow dual lands that are coming out. They've got modal dual face cards involving snow. Snow is here. So, and we're not talking, you know, the snow they had in the 80s. That never left.
And it's not Jon Snow either.
Not Jon? Really?
I've seen one episode of Game of Thrones, okay? So I had to throw it in
you
there.
You need to finish the show. I know. Now listen, and I'm telling you right now, the last 2 seasons, it's going to be an exercise. But you need to finish it.
If I can sit through the first 2 seasons of DS9, I can sit through the last 2 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, it's easier because it's only like 12. So,
yeah.
In any event, so Kaldheim is based around this Norse mythology thing. So Norse, wow, say that 10 times fast. Norse mythology, Norwegian mythology. There we go.
Vikings.
Yes, Vikings. Yes,
metal.
Not Minnesota Vikings. No, and metal. Yeah, it's so fucking lame.
I like the collector booster wrappers. Those are cool looking.
It's so fucking lame. Anyway. it was cool, like, you know, their cards are coming out. I mean, really, I guess what, I mean, do you want to talk about the mechanics real quick? I mean, the mechanics in Kaldheim, I mean, they're bringing back MDFCs, which I don't think those are going away anytime soon.
No, the MDFCs are going to be in Strixhaven as well, because I guess Strixhaven was where they were first going to be. And then they saw how good they were in design. So like, well, let's put them in other sets. So they brought them backwards into Kaldheim and Zendikar. So Those are coming back. There's a new mechanic called Foretell, which I believe some of our preview cards deal with, so we'll talk about it more then.
Yep.
There's Boast, Snow.
Some of ours talk about Boast.
There's, like you said, Snow cards. There's a heavy tribal theme.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think what
and
else.
And Sagas are back again.
Sagas, yes. Sagas are also back, and that is awesome, because I think it's the first time that we're going to have multicolored Sagas. They've been all monocolored up until this point. So
right.
It opens up more design space, because you get to do, you know, oh, this color's good.
And I like the changelings. I like that they're changelings.
And yes, changeling is back as well. So we have shapeshifters and all creature type shenanigans, and there's some crazy stuff to go with that, and I'll talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah, so... Well, why don't we go ahead and just start breaking down some of the cards here. I'm going to start off, and oh, look at that. It's like the screen is already set for me.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Wake the Trolls. So it says on the screen now, the screen, obviously, I pulled this. It's in, I believe, some sort of Spanish. But basically, Wake the Trolls is the first saga. It's a dual-colored saga.
Mm-hmm.
It's four colorless, red and green, and it's basically... You know, the first part of the saga is destroy a target land. Yes.
I never saw you as a Ponza person.
Return target land. Huh?
I never saw you as a Ponza person.
Return target land from a graveyard to the battlefield under your control. Now, I'm thinking commander here, too. This is going to be really good for some of my commander decks.
Okay.
Return a target land from the battlefield under my control. And then three, choose target opponent if you control more lands than them. Create a number of 4/4 green troll warrior tokens with trample equal to the difference. So if I, again, don't get me wrong, Wizards, what the hell is it with you and ramp? Because again, this rewards ramp. Oh, what? Turn six, you got eight lands out and I have four? Oh, shit.
The big difference this time is that it's not Simic. It's usually Simic that they push with the ramp stuff.
So it's going to be something, it's going to be somewhat... I'm okay with it in a lot of regards. I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I guess I like the card, though. I love that it's dual-colored. I like that it's a saga. I like that it's messing with land, because you don't see a lot of land hate and standard these days. So
right.
You know.
No, there really isn't a lot of land destruction in Magic at all, if you think about it right now.
Right.
For the new sets.
So let's go to the next, and... This is yours.
Yeah, and you had to know that this one was going to be one that I was going to...
Oh, I knew this was... Yeah, yeah,
in
I
fact,
saw this.
You could say you saw it coming.
Oh, oh yeah, that's...
So, I had to. It's just, it's right...
Yeah.
The thing about... Yeah.
Nick says I hate you.
Well, think about this. The last counterspell.
By the way, you should introduce the name of the card now.
I just did,
Mr. Pun. No, you said you could have saw it coming, but you didn't say the name of the card is.
The name of the card is Saw It Coming.
There.
Now,
you go.
Back in Thorn of Eldraine, they had my favorite counterspell by name with Didn't Say Please. This one is it just goes right into that line of they've really been like chef's kiss on naming their counterspells. So Saw It Coming is an instant for 1/2 blue, and it simply says counter target spell. However, it has the Foretell ability. So for this one, the Foretell is 1/1 blue. So during your turn, I can pay 2 colorless mana and exile this card from my hand face down, and I can cast it on a later turn for its Foretell cost. Basically what this is, it's Yu-Gi-Oh! It's a trap card.
Yeah.
So it's like morph for spells.
Right.
And I really
and
love
there's no way to interact with it once it's there. There's nothing that says if it's in exile, you know, other than countering it when you cast it.
Yeah, it's cast like a regular spell, but there, you know, it evades hand disruption. You don't know what it is because it's face down, so if there are multiple Foretell cards, you have to do it in order as to which one is foretold first,
right,
and whatnot. But you know,
whoa, wait. So if I Foretell a card, I can pick any one, can I?
You can pick any one, but you have to keep them in order. So that way, if someone says, if there's something that requires you to pick a certain face down card that was cast a certain turn,
sure,
you have to remember which one is which. And at the end of the game, okay, it's like morph. You have to flip them back over to say, hey, this is what these were, just so you know, right, I had all these. I really like the Foretell mechanic. I wasn't sure if they were going to do a counterspell for it. And I figured if they did, it'd be like situational, like unless they pay two or, you know, only if it's a creature spell or what have you.
But I would have put money on cancel. Like,
well,
they haven't put cancel
this is cancel
for a while. This is much better than
this
cancel.
This is much better than cancel. I really, this is probably one of the better counterspells they've printed in a while. It opens you up early in the game for them sneaking something through. But after that, I mean, you've got good old-fashioned counterspell sitting there for two mana just waiting for them to do something. And you
well,
can...
it's playable almost right away. Okay, if you're going to foretell it, the reason you're foretelling it is you want to be able to counter something for just two later in the game.
Right.
You pay two to put it face down. Okay. The idea being that you probably have a blue already there. Like, the next turn, you can get the value off of this card. Like, well, turn three, this has value.
Well, yeah. And
which is when you would play it normally anyway.
Right. But then also, too, like, if the game goes long, you could have, like, two or three of these sitting aside. And
oh, yeah.
still have a full hand of other counter magic or whatever else you want. So they're sitting there going, okay, well, it's going to be a longer counter war. And they're like, oh, you forgot about these three. But then also, on the other hand, if your hand is empty and you have a couple of these sitting down there, you're like, oh, no, my hand is empty. Do whatever you want. I can't interact. Oh, wait, yes, I can. So I really, this is probably one of the best foretell cards we've seen so far. It'll see play somewhere.
Do you think it's too...
Do I think it's too good?
It's kind of got the companion mindset, which again,
no.
The thing that pissed off everybody in companion was hand disruption. Like, it broke hand disruption.
No, because the thing about the companions was that it was a you know, static ability or whatever it was, you know, with certain ones, or it was such a game breaking ability when you did it. This one, most of these spells are one and done. There are a couple of cards that interact with foretell cards in one way or another that increase their power, but I don't think it's anything that's like super broken. This is obviously one of the better ones because it's, you know, it's counter magic and you get to
right.
set it aside. But overall, this one's strong, but it's safe.
Shocker, Steve loves it.
Yeah, I think it's very good. And
I do too.
There's
actually,
a lot of space.
I just have to play the devil's advocate on this.
There's a lot of design space for a mechanic like this, and I'll be happy to see what the rest of the set looks like. What other foretell cards we get? This one just caught my eye because it's. I wasn't sure that they were going to do just a regular hard counterspell with foretell, and they did it, and I like it.
Well, I don't disagree. So my next card that I want to talk about is. And this might surprise you because this isn't my style, but when I read this card, I was like, ooh, wow. First of all, again, lots of text. Eradicator
Yay,
text. Valkyrie. Two black, two colorless. It's an Angel Berserker. Has flying, lifelink, and hexproof from Planeswalkers.
I like that.
I do too. It has a boast cost. Boast, one in black and a colorless. Sacrifice a creature. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or Planeswalker. Activate this ability only if the creature attacked this turn and only once each turn.
Yep.
Like, okay, so it attacks, which, again, it's flying and lifelink. You're always going to attack with it. I mean, it doesn't have vigilance. Otherwise, it would be Angel of Invention on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, flying, lifelink, hexproof from Planeswalkers. And then the boast mechanic is just, oh, sorry, you didn't block. Okay. And
oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they block or not. It just... As long as it attacked, they could fog you, and you'd be like, well, okay, then I use the boast ability anyway.
Not just that, it's an instant speed. It doesn't say it has a sorcery.
Instant speed.
Sacrifice a creature, each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker. So when you go to block with this card, all right, I'm sending in a 4-3. I'm going to block with my 3-4 flyer. Really? One in a black, sacrifice, and it's your only creature. Sacrifice a creature. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, but you have to make sure you do it before they declare blockers, because then your guy's still blocked.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It opens up a lot of bluffing, a lot of how valuable do you, you know, are the creatures that you have there. If you're playing against, like, a control strategy, you start nuking their planeswalkers and still go face.
Yeah, it's a great card.
It's very, very
sorry.
Good.
I've seen some things like, this will be the first ban. Maybe?
No.
I don't think so, though. I think in Limited it's got a lot of potential.
In Limited, it's an absolute bomb.
It'll see some constructed play, I'm sure.
Maybe. I mean, it kind of fills the same space as Rankle, so I guess it's going to depend on... it won't fit the tribal synergy for a rogue deck, so it'll have to be some other black deck that uses a lot of creatures.
Well, it could be going into a sac deck.
Possibly, yeah. Sacrifice deck. We'd have to see how many sacrifice payoffs there are between all the cards in Standard. I haven't really looked at that right now, especially for black. I mean, black-green for, like,
black
food.
Black-red.
Black-red,
Yeah, I mean, that's aristocrats.
Yeah.
So, I think this will see some play in constructed, but I mean in limited, you open this.
Oh, it's absolute bomb.
We always talk about, like, you know, right before a set goes into pre-release. If you open this, motherfucker, you're playing black.
Yeah, you're totally in black if you open up this card. There's zero reason not to be, unless like you literally opened nothing but garbage for the rest of your black cards.
Yeah, you're still playing this.
you'll try to squeeze it in somehow. I mean, it's like Rekindling Phoenix.
I still remember that. Mm-hmm. All right, your next card.
All right, so my next card, we're going to stay in black. I am going to be talking about a MDFC, one of the new gods, Turgrid.
Modal dual face cards. Yep.
Turgrid, God of Fright. And for 3 and 2 black, you get a 4/5 god creature with menace. Now, the interesting thing about the gods in Kaldheim is that, unlike the gods in Theros, the gods in Amonkhet, these ones don't have indestructible. They don't go back to your hand when they die. They don't go back into your library when they die. The regular creatures, you can kill them normally, which I think is kind of cool. The Kaldheim gods are just, they're regular dudes. It's just super powerful.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's a 4/5 menace. And whenever an opponent sacrifices a non-token permanent or discards a permanent card, you may put that card onto the battlefield under your control from their graveyard.
From a graveyard. If they somehow manage to get it to exile.
If they exile it, then you don't get it. But if they're not exiling it, you're getting it. Which is nuts already to me. This has a great synergy in Commander with Torment of Hailfire.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. You name like X's 10 or whatever. It's like, do you want to lose 30 life or do I get 10 of your things?
Yeah. Or Doom Foretold.
Or Doom Foretold, like Steve mentioned. Any sacrifice ability, I mean, or just, you know, you duress them, and, oh, I'll take that, thank you. Thoughtseize, you know, in Modern.
It's good. Ridiculous.
This is a really good card. It's a little expensive at 5 mana for some of these strategies, but if it's a longer control type of a deck, and if the game goes longer, or especially, like I said, Commander, I mean, this plus, like, Dictator of Rebos, and you start killing off your guys, so they start sacrificing their guys, so you get their guys. I mean, the possibilities are almost endless with this card.
And here's the thing. On the other side, the Lantern's not
horrible. But that's the thing. That was only the front face of the card. There is an entire other card on the back of this called Turgrid's Lantern. It's a legendary artifact for 3 and a black, and it says, tap, target player loses 3 life unless they sacrifice a non-land permanent or discard a card. So you have Torment of Hailfire on 1 on a stick, and you could pay 3 and a black to untap it.
And since it's a dual face card, legendary rule, would the legendary rule apply? I can have Turgrid and the Lantern.
Yes, you may.
Oh, isn't that
so? You could do both, and if you have a bunch of mana just sitting around, you'd be like, oh,
wait,
sacrifice.
Wait,
we must stop.
We must stop. Hold on. Hello, Pam.
Hi, babe.
All right, moving on.
So yeah, I mean, this both sides of these. Like, if this was 2 separate cards, which technically it is, it would already be a great combination between the two of them, but the fact that it's on one card and you can pick and choose which side you need or want at the time, and the ability on the god side is just, it's obscenely powerful. It is definitely a build around, but if you get to do this once, even just once, that's going to be a play that your play group will remember for weeks, because it'll be like, oh my god,
dude,
I can't believe it.
Looking at the card above it, okay, that we just did,
mm-hmm,
with the bows, the Eradicator of Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Synergy.
There is a lot of synergy in black. You know, and again, you're going to love this. We're going to keep going on. We're going to go on to the next one, Draugr Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a black and 3 colorless zombie cleric. If a non-token creature an opponent controls would die, exile that card with an ice counter on it instead, which kind of sucks for you.
But if you control both of them, you get to choose which trigger.
Yes. But if Turgrid's there, I mean, obviously.
That's what I mean.
You may cast spells from among cards in exile your opponent's control with ice counters on them, and you may spend mana from snow sources as though it were mana of any color. Look, I love this. I love the fact that they're getting into snow shenanigans. And I understand that there are people like Steve and all that are like, why is snow in standard? Blah, 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 blah. I get it. And Steve, if I'm wrong, correct me in the chat. But, I mean,
well, here's the
damn, if this isn't great.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
Here's what snow does. The fact that there's snow payoffs at all basically means there's no reason to play basic lands. You're going to play snow-covered anything. Because if you even have one payoff, with snow, you're going to play
it. It's Ice Age. We're in Ice Age all over
again.
Well,
cold snap, because remember, Ice Age and Alliances didn't have snow as regarding, you know, not as heavily.
No, but they had snow-covered islands.
They did, but the payoffs were terrible until cold snap.
Right.
And then also, too, basically now if in Standard, if you're not playing Snowlands, they know you're not playing snow cards. So they can already say, well, I can eliminate this entire section of this set. I know you're not going to be using it.
So I might have to go and buy a whole set of snow. I might just have to.
Well, there's going to be Snowlands coming in booster packs, so they will be readily available.
And we will be opening boxes, you and I. I mean, we're both getting set boosters, right?
Yes, I'm getting a set booster box. And
we're probably going to do another. You want to do
another box battle?
Yeah,
absolutely. That was fun.
I mean, we're not doing it with the. We're not getting collector boosters.
No. Not unless somebody like gifts one to me or something.
Yeah. Hey, and if anybody out there wants to gift two collector boosters to me and Aramis, we'll open them on the air.
It only costs you about $600. You could do that or get
PS5.
Yeah,
and we'll keep the cards too. Believe me, we'll be happy about it. So
totally.
Oh, me and Ant will join in. Who says you're invited?
A and B conversation. See your way out of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, Commander Craft, why don't you do it on your Commander Craft?
Oh.
Oh, snap dizzle.
Point, counterpoint.
So, no, I'm kidding. but in any event, we'll talk about it. We might try to do a little something there.
Yeah.
Because Aramis and I are both going to open regular booster boxes. Oh, who are we kidding? We cannot keep them sealed to open them. It's going to be hard enough to keep this freaking... it's going to be hard enough to keep the... not collector boosters, but what the
set boosters?
Yeah, it's going to be hard enough to keep the set boosters sealed. The minute we get our hands on our regular draft boosters, I mean, they ain't long for this one.
Yeah, we were like we're looking at the box, and the next thing we know, we're sitting in a pile of empty Raptors going, well, what the hell just happened?
Well, I mean, I may turn on my camera and be like, here we go, I'm cracking a booster. But I'm like, we ain't going to wait for each other. I mean, it's just how it is. But, yeah, no, I like this card. I kind of like that it's letting you... grab other people's stuff, man.
Yeah, that's Black's thing. Is really, it's like now it's not just I'm killing everything. It's like I'm killing it, but I'm also stealing it for later or now.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there's a part of me that's kind of like too. It's like regarding power level, it's like
the power level keeps creeping up. I would say, somebody else had mentioned
this. Not as much of a creep.
No, somebody else had mentioned this and saying that this isn't as strong as Eldraine. It's stronger than Dominaria.
I don't think anything's going to be as strong as Eldraine.
I hope not.
This is close, though. It's what I've seen so far.
This already
they're
got
one
some,
or two card.
Yeah,
they're one or two cards away from being as strong as Eldraine. Yeah.
So,
like, we were all kind of looking forward to the fall. I think with a little bit of Eldraine, kind of bottoming out. I mean, I know we're 6-7 months out from that, but you know, the idea of rotation and Eldraine being gone forever from Standard. I know there are some people that are like, yay, let's party. Again, hold my... You know,
yeah, let's wait and see what's coming, because this might be more of the same. But, you know, hey, so far so
Hopefully
good.
Hopefully we're wrong.
So far so good.
Well, the next thing, sir, what's your next card?
Next card, we're going to go talk about a land. It is the World Tree.
It's a little World Tree.
It's beautiful art. I love the art.
It is beautiful art.
I'm curious as to why it's not legendary. I know they've been really shying away from doing legendary lands. They say they don't play well, but it's like, okay, well, how's it different from any other legendary permanent? But whatever.
I think because there's so much land destruction now. Like,
where?
This set has a bunch of it.
Where? And it's legendary, so you can't have more than one in play anyway. So if they blow it up, you just play the copy you have sitting in your hand.
Look at this, Steve. Why is it not legendary?
Yeah, it's not legendary. So
it doesn't hurt it to not be legendary.
It just means you can have four and play at a time. So anyway, the World Tree enters the battlefield tapped. It taps for a green. And as long as you control six or more lands you control have tap, add one mana of any color. The other ability, I'm not done. This is like Questing Beast of Lands here. You pay... Wooburg twice, so two white, two blue, two black, two red, two green. Tap and sacrifice the World Tree. Search your library for any number of god cards, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. This in and of itself is kind of innocuous because, yeah, there's some gods in the set and there's some gods in older sets, so you can build like God Tribal Commander, which I might actually be building one of my commander decks to be God Tribal before I knew about this card. So this card's going to find a home.
Yeah, I think there is going to be some.
But
I think there's going to be some God Tribal in Standard.
There is a two card combo with this card that makes you put every permanent in your deck into play.
Oh.
You combine this with Maskwood Nexus. It's an artifact for 4 that says creatures you control are every creature type. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. And you can pay 3 and tap to create a 2/2 blue shapeshifter creature token with Changeling, but who cares? It turns everything into gods. So you blow up the world tree, you get everything in your deck. The whole deck into play, boom. Because you can imagine, you're sitting there going, end step, my deck enters the battlefield.
Yeah.
All of it. And
yes, my deck enters the battlefield, but doesn't have haste. Your turn, oh shit,
I said
how do I draw?
On their end step.
I know.
Because this is an instant ability. So, I mean, again, I'm a little confused as to why it's not legendary, but I know they have their strange reasons, the same reasons that the castles weren't legendary. It was something like the same reason for creatures. It's like it's a mana representation of the location or whatever it is. Whatever. But yeah, this is breakable. It's expensive. Thank goodness it costs 10 mana to activate.
Yes, because if only in Standard or Commander or Modern or Legacy or Vintage or Pioneer, if only there was some way to ramp out
cards
and get more land out in turn.
Yeah,
because
it's got a chromatic.
This will never see hitting on turn 5. No.
I mean, it's got Chromatic Lantern. Not. It's got Chromatic Lantern built in, which makes it easier to do. 10 mana in and of itself plus this land is expensive, but it's doable in formats like Commander. In Standard, no. It's not a good card for Standard.
I don't know about that.
I
think there's enough gods and enough ramp
and
Standard.
Well, there is. There's a combination with the other artifact in the deck to make in the set to make your entire deck into gods.
Right.
Or, you know.
And I think there are enough gods in and of themselves. When you think about like the Theros gods.
Yeah.
Like there's enough
there's only
to where
five
this
of them.
Could see Six. Something because it's explosive with the if you can ramp into it. And ramp to it. Now, they did nerf some ramp. I mean, my God, if Uro was still here, holy shit.
Steve just had an interesting interesting proposition, which is kind of terrifying. Ultimatum Tribal.
Oh, God dang it.
I kind of like that. That's insidious. I kind of like it.
Yeah, that's not going to end badly for anybody.
So, yeah, that's that one.
Moving on. And this was somebody mentioned this earlier. One of my personal favorites, Quakebringer. All right, I like any red card that starts off with the words, your opponents cannot gain life.
Yeah.
So, I was like, damn Skippy. It's a 2-red, 3-colorless, so it's still a little expensive. It's a giant berserker, which again, giants are a thing. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of your upkeep, Quakebringer deals 2 damage to each opponent. This ability triggers only if Quakebringer is on the field or if Quakebringer is in your graveyard and you control a giant. So it's like, yeah, I attacked with it. It died. Sucks. You know what? Oh, wait, look. Here's another giant.
Or here's another Quakebringer.
Yeah.
And you forgot something else about this card.
Yeah. It's got the Foretell,
got Foretell.
2 colorless.
Got Foretell, so you can stash it away.
2 red and 2 colorless.
Yeah.
This card will see play. This is kind of what red's been needing. Red's been kind of a struggle. Mono red's been struggling. And I think Steve's right. I think we're going to start seeing some more big red. Because with stuff that came out in 21, with stuff that came out in the last set, I like this card a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, like turn 1, you do whatever. Turn 2, you either you stomp or foretell the Quakebringer. Turn 3, you do a giant, the Bone Crusher.
Yeah.
Turn 4,
Bone Crusher giant. Yep,
yeah.
Bring in Quakebringer.
Yeah. Turn 4, you either foretell in the Quakebringer or cast a Calamity Bearer, which is another giant from the set. That's a 3/4 for 2 and 2 red. If a giant source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead.
And then we'll put Torbern in just for kicks.
And Torbern, you know, so big red heavy burn. I mean, these guys all have big enough butts to survive most of the burn spells out there anyway. So this could be a thing.
He's not wrong. Open the Omen Pass. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of fun little interaction here. Mm-hmm. And in fact, speaking of red.
Yeah, speaking of.
You knew Aramis was going to bring this one up.
You know what? The reason I'm bringing this card up is because I think it's really interesting and I think it's really cool. It does tie into my next card that I'm going to talk about. So we'll leave that one. Let's leave that last card until I say the name.
Yes.
So the card I'm talking about right now is Tybalt's Trickery. It is an instant for one and a red, and it's got lots of words in it. That's a theme of red rare sometimes, just to have just so many words. So it reads, counter target spell. Yes, I said counter target spell in red. There's more. Choose 1, 2, or 3 at random. Its controller mills that many cards, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card with a different name than that spell. They may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then they put the exiled cards on the bottom of their library in a random order. Here's why I like this card. The way that it's worded...
It could go either way.
Well, the way that it's worded, you can target your own stuff.
Right.
So you cast it on something that's uncounterable, say? Like, I don't know, the 6-mana Chandra?
Sure.
And then you get something else for free. You know, with the right kind of deck, you could be like, I'm going to counter this card and, oh, well, what's the next non-land permanent card in my deck? If there's not a lot of non-land permanents, oh, look, Emrakul. For 2 mana.
Yeah, here's the question on that. I mean, I assume it's got to have a target, though. I mean, Chandra can't be countered.
Yeah, but you can still target a spell that can't be countered. So it'll try to do as much of the spell as it can. It can't counter the card. All of these other words doesn't say.
So that other card comes out for 6.
Yeah, none of this card says if that spell is countered in this way, then do all this other stuff. It just does all this other stuff. So you cast a spell that's uncounterable, zip it with your own Tybalt's Trickery, get something else for free. The other side of the coin, obviously, is use it on their thing and hope that they don't hit something. It's Chaos Warp. You hope, mm-hmm. you know, they spin the wheel, hope they don't get something good. And the reason they have the milling effect at 1, 2, or 3 or random is so that they can't manipulate the top few cards of their deck and get something good right on top.
Right.
Most of the cards that do that stop at around 3, like Brainstorm or Sensei's right. Divining Top, things like that. So it gets around...
They're fucking with the color wheel. Well, don't get me wrong. Red, I'm not sure I feel about this.
Red has had access to counter spells. It just very rarely... This is very in flavor for red. It's saying, I'm countering your spell, but you might get something better. You never know. Let's have some chaos.
It still feels like you're kind of counter... You're fucking with the color wheel.
No.
There's just no way around
that. Red has access to counter spells. They always have. That has not
usually,
changed.
Usually, though, in concert with blue.
They've had access to counter spells in mono red. It's usually been just color hate. But, or if they've had it, there's been some random, a random writer attached to it saying that, hey, this other stuff has to happen too, but you can do all this. So they do the same thing with card draw. They do the same thing with adding mana. They're passionate in the moment saying, hey, I'm going to blow this up. Never mind what else might happen. I'm just blowing this up. And then you flip over some insane bomb instead, and they're like, oh, shit.
Well, my last card, and this is kind of funny, it's a common.
Okay.
But damn if I don't love it. Frostbite, 1 red. So it's kind of a shock. Deals 2 damage to target creature or planeswalker. However, if you control 3 or more snow permanents, it deals 3 damage instead, so it becomes a lightning bolt.
Sort of. Doesn't hit face.
Yes.
It is nice, though.
It is a good card. I like it. It's a little bit... I love the flavor of the fact that if you have snow permanents, which are lands... Yeah, you can deal 3 instead.
No, there's snow creatures, there's snow enchantments, yes. There's snow artifacts. There's snow is everywhere.
No problem, man.
Snow problem.
God, Jesus Christ. my brain. Yeah, so.
No, it's a very
solid
card.
Yeah, they should give us Lightning Bolt. You're not wrong.
They should give us Lightning Bolt. If they're giving us a Quasi Bolt, they might as well just give us the real thing.
So, but the
last card I'm going to talk about.
Okay, but yes, let's move on to your final.
It ties in. Don't put it up yet. It ties into Tybalt's Trickery, but in the reverse way. For every way that Tybalt's Trickery is good, this card is bad. And that card is Divine Gambit. Divine Gambit is a sorcery for 2 white mana. Exile target artifact, creature, or enchantment an opponent controls. That's good.
Yeah.
That player may put a permanent card from their hand onto the battlefield. That's bad.
That's not so good.
That is very, very bad. See, at least with Tybalt's Trickery, it's random. They could get nothing. You know, they could get some random mana dork or whatever. You know, you counter their eight mana bomb, they get a one mana dork. You know what I mean? Could be nothing.
Absolutely.
This one, they have a lot more.
So then why is this on your list?
Because I wanted to show the difference between how to do a fun card good and how to do a fun card bad.
Because I feel like this is late game. This is more, I draw this in the late game. Exile target
it's
artifact.
It's so situational because
they have nothing in their hand.
But then it's a dead card in your hand until that point. You're better off playing any other removal spell up until this point. If you're relying on that one narrow interaction where they have nothing in their hand, and the fact that it's double white means it's not even splashable. You have to be basically playing mono white to get this done.
I think this will see a lot of play in limited.
This is a trap card. This is a card that you think is good, and there may be situations where it ends up working out for you, but the vast majority of the times you're going, all right, if I use this on anything other than their best card in their deck, I run the risk of getting blown out by their best card.
I get that.
You know, it's one of those things where there's no reason why it couldn't have just cost an extra white mana and not had that extra part attached to it.
And Steve's right. It should have been an instant.
Should have been. There's another card in the set that is a common that does this for cheaper and it's better. Or actually, it's more expensive, but it's an instant and it's better. It gives them a 1/1 flying bird in exchange for whatever you kill.
Well, I don't disagree. So that's our call time previews. We did 10 cards. We'll do more next week. So thanks. You know, there's that. But I think we have combat. So let's get into that.
Yes.
Combat phase. All right, combat phase. So, Aramis, you proposed this, so I'm going to let you take us out of this one.
All right. So, if you guys were watching the preview video last week,
Go on.
Whatever your thoughts on it were.
I know.
A lot of people probably left as soon as they said, "Hey, we'll see you later," and the lights went down. They did an Easter egg. If you stayed till the end, they previewed one last card, and it was in Phyrexian. That card was Vorinclex, Monstrous Raider. Now, this card had been leaked, but people were like, is it real? Right. Is it not real? It is real, people. So for those of you who haven't seen the spoiler, hadn't seen the leak, hadn't seen the video, here is Vorinclex, Monstrous Raider. It is four...
Why didn't you put that in the thing I'm going to edit on the screen?
Well, I'm going to read it off. It's four colorless and two green for a 6/6 legendary creature, Phyrexian Praetor. So it's actually a Phyrexian creature type. It's the first time they've done this. It has trample and haste. If you would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, put twice as many of each of those kinds of counters on that permanent or player instead. This allows planeswalkers to ultimate on your side instantaneously because they enter with counters, so Vorinclex sees it and doubles it. The other ability that it has, if an opponent would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, they put half that many of each of those kinds of counters on that permanent or player instead, rounded down. So if you have a planeswalker with one that has a +1 ability on the opponent's side, they get 0 loyalty counters when they activate it. If you have something that comes in with one +1/+1 counter, it comes in with 0 +1/+1 counters. For a lot of creatures, that kills them. Same is true for poison counters, +1/+1 counters, lore counters, what have you. So here's the whole point of this combat. Card aside, looking at the story, people have been asking for Kaldheim for years. We want the Viking set. We already know the plane exists because it showed up in, Plane Chase. So we know there's a set that's based around Vikings. We know there's a set that's based around Norse mythology. We want to see it. We want to live in that lore because it's a very popular style of fantasy. So Wizards delivers on that, but then they also throw the Phyrexians in there, hinting at or starting probably another long story arc, which is going to end, I'm assuming, in New Phyrexia with another big Phyrexian war. You know, Karn probably blowing up the plane with the Golgoth and Silex and what have you. My question to you is, do you even care about the story, first of all?
Not a bit.
Okay. If you did.
This is the perfect combat because I think you and I we're almost diametrically opposed on this.
If you were someone who cared about the story and were looking forward to this set, do you like the idea of having at least one, because we don't know if the rest of them are here, at least one of the Phyrexian Praetors in Kaldheim, and does that take away from the specialness of visiting this plane that people have been waiting for such a long time? Does it take away from that?
No. Listen, I'm not big on the lore. I've gone into this. Like, I'm familiar with it, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with how they put things together. But for me personally, I like playing the game. I like collecting the... I'm more of a game player than even the collector. But I like collecting the cards. I like trying to get my hands on most of them. That being said, no. I feel like Phyrexian anything, okay, is an automatic, like, everybody gets giddy. Mm-hmm. All right? It's like... It would be like if they put Luke Skywalker at the end of The Mandalorian. Okay? Like, it just... It's something you would love to see, okay? So, yeah, I, you know, why wouldn't you want to see it? It's the Karate Kid. It's everything they did with Cobra Kai for season 3. All right, they brought back.
I haven't seen season three yet.
What the hell's wrong with you, man?
I'm trying to catch up. We're in season 2.
All right. Well, in any event, I said it in my ride home with Will, and I'll say it here. It's like. Season 3 is a love letter to fans of The Karate Kid. They didn't spend as much time with the kids as they did Johnny, Daniel, even Kreese gets a backstory. Like, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, we're starting to realize, I think a lot of things are starting to realize that that's what we want in, you know, in this. So, yeah, throwing a Phyrexian in there, as long as it's not overpowering it, I'm in. Like,
okay.
Do you disagree?
I'm not sure I disagree completely. When I saw the leak of Vorinclex, I lost my damn mind because I love the Phyrexians, and I was like, "Holy crap! Here we freaking go! This is gonna be awesome." Then I sort of sat back a little bit and said, "You know,
Steve, you're out of your goddamn mind."
To me, I feel like it does take away a little bit of it. And only because of the fact that this plane had been so anticipated, so wanted, so people have been waiting for this set for so long. Like, if they had done this on, like, Innistrad, if they had waited until Innistrad, I think...
Oh, they will.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they do it for Innistrad because they just dealt with Eldrazi there, but...
Nope.
But
I'm telling you right now. I'm just saying
it makes less sense for me. Who knows what they're going to do? But I'm saying, like, if theoretically they were going to do this, I would have rather they waited to do it on a plane that we've already visited, so that we already have some of the lore swallowed. You know, some of the backstory is already there. It's already been fleshed out a little bit, and then you can drop that little nice little Easter egg in there and say, here we go.
They are moving chess pieces,
and I have no problem with them moving chess pieces. To me, I was like I said at first, oh, this is great, this is awesome. I still think it's pretty cool. I can't wait because I missed the whole Mirrodin besieged and New Phyrexia arc.
Right.
So I missed all of that.
I have a feeling you're going to see Phyrexians in everything.
Yeah, forward. I think there's a couple.
It's going to be Nicol Bolas all over.
Well, yeah,
again.
They're
going to drag this out for 5 years, and by the end of it, we're going to be like, Jesus Christ.
There's a couple of theories floating around. One of them saying that all five of the Praetors are going to be in this set. I don't buy that. I don't think the number crunching will bear that out. There's another theory that says it's going to be one Praetor each set for the next few sets. Maybe not every single set, but, you know, over the course of the next 7 or 8 sets, we're going to see all of the Praetors, at least all the ones that are still alive. But the only problem I have with it, and it's relatively minor, all things considered, is that I kind of wish, like I said, that maybe they should have done it on a plane that was already a little established. Like, if they had put the Praetor in Theros, it would have made a little more sense, because in the story, Ashiok finds out from Elspeth's dreams and nightmares who the Phyrexians are, and they planeswalk away to try to find these Phyrexians and see what they're all about. There could have been that one little story spotlight card where it shows either Vorinclex or Ashiok meeting up with Elish Norn or whatever it is, you know?
Right.
So I love the fact that the Phyrexians are coming back. I love the fact that we're going to go into another big, long story arc. I think a war with the Phyrexians would be great. I felt like the timing, while it wasn't bad, could have been better. You see what I'm saying?
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it, too. I'm not saying I'm not okay with it.
Kaldheim, yeah. Everybody's been kind of crying for it. A lot of people have. But some people... Here's the thing. There are probably some people out there that don't give a shit about Norse mythology.
No, there's people who don't give a crap about the Phyrexians.
Right, but they may be, that's just it, they may be giving a shit about the Phyrexians. So
yeah.
I think what they're doing, and Wizards has been doing this for a while now, they're hedging their bets. So
my only problem with, I mean, my only problem with that is that the people who care about the Phyrexians and don't care about Kaldheim, you've had your cake already, as it were, because the Phyrexians right. were a major part of the original storyline going all the way through Invasion Block, and then they came back right. for Mirrodin Besieged, whereas we've never been to Kaldheim other than one card in Plane Chase that referenced the plane. So we knew about it, but there was nothing really there.
Right.
So I think in that regard, if you're someone who doesn't care about Kaldheim but you care about Phyrexians, okay, you get more good stuff. But if you yeah. cared about Kaldheim and not the Phyrexians, this was your first chance, and you're just like, okay, well, it could have been a 10 out of 10, but now it's like an 8 out of 10. It's still great, but it could have been a little bit better if they just left it alone and maybe reintroduced the Phyrexians maybe a set or two later. But they're going to right. so many new planes this year, so I guess it was, if there had to be a time, it had to be now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it too. I'm just saying, yeah. like I think the delivery could have been timed a little better.
So I guess we didn't have a clear winner on this combat, but I didn't think we would. Let's go to main two because we're starting to get towards the end of the show here, and I want to make sure we get the winner box and stuff in. So let's get to
main phase.
All right, so second main phase. The first thing we want to talk about tonight, which is very exciting. This is the start of season 3.
Yes.
So, yes. We have officially been on the air for 2 years. This is the start of year 3. 2 years ago, like I think it was this week, it came up in my Facebook, like we did our first show.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had a, you know, I decided tonight I wanted to do something a little special. Like, the first show, like, I go back thinking about it. We're not talking about Show Zero. Show Zero is a show that'll live in infamy, and if I can ever find it, yay, we'll play it. We'll definitely throw it in the feed.
Oh, God.
But Show One, even, was a little bit, you know, we hadn't found our footing yet. I mean, it's so cool now, 2 years later, but I've got a little bit here. I'm just going to play this real quick.
All right.
So.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planes Talkers Podcast. This is a show dedicated to the discussion of the standard game of Magic the Gathering. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my faithful compatriot, Aramis. Welcome, Aramis. This is episode one.
Episode one? Yay.
Episode one.
All right, I like the sound of that.
So... Well,
you could just tell we had not found our footing yet.
Yeah, I liked your semi-elitist. Yes, we'll be talking about these cards, and if we're lucky, we'll have some caviar afterwards.
I almost had like the Thurston Howell the Third voice, like, "Hello, lover, you know, I'm going to talk with clenched teeth, lover."
Darling, could you bring the yacht around? Not the brown yacht, the white yacht. Thank you very much.
I mean, it wasn't long after, like, you know, I think it was episode 5 where we finally came up with the tagline, "The buy casuals for casuals." And, you know, I mean, we started really getting our stride. I remember it was around episode 3. I remember talking to you and being like, we were offline. I'm like, okay, listen, you're doing great. You're doing good. But are you nervous? And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you can't be. Like, because you sound nervous.
I still get very nervous.
Yeah, but back then you were like, so we're here to talk about Magic tonight. It wasn't like you were reading it, but it was very monotone. There was no, like, you never pegged the board.
Well.
Me, if you look at my board, man, I'm all crazy. No, we are not dyeing our beards for the 125th episode. I'll be dyeing my beard before that. Jesus Christ. This is not quantum physics.
I don't need
it. I had a white beard a month ago.
I don't need to dye my beard yet.
All right, shut up there, Spock. yeah, we, you know, I think in the past 2 years, we definitely found our footing. You know, having Kerwin's come alongside us last year, we're starting year 2 with them. You know, and I'm very excited about that. You know, but I think about the things. I mean, I think about, you know, the listeners we've had. I think John's been with us from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Walt was with us from the start. He had to take a step away because of his family stuff, but he's still somebody very near and dear to us. I still check in with him from time to time. Jonathan, and obviously Steve, and Anthony,
yeah.
and Nick, and my guys from Glenmont. You know, like, all of the incredibly cool stuff that we've been able to do, you know, and, you know, this is like the clip show portion. I mean, so if I'm thinking about the best episode we had this year, well, It's Aramis's favorite episode of this year. Yes. Yeah, so let's,
it
you know.
It got to the point where
he's talking about something.
52-1
52-1
Next attack. So I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I played a Academy Drake to block it. Then I played a Cloud Reader Sphinx to block it. Now, when Cloud Reader Sphinx comes into play, you scry too.
Right.
So I scryed, and the second card that I scryed and put to the top of my deck was this card right here in Bolas's clutches.
Asshole.
So what happened on the next turn? I stole that damn worm from him and proceeded to take his life all the way back down from 52. It was the greatest comeback I had ever seen personally or on camera in Magic. And
yeah, 52-1
Fake news. That didn't happen.
That's fake news.
Fake
news.
52-1 boys and girls.
Yeah,
happened.
That did happen. Yeah. So you know, I didn't want to start year three here without first acknowledging you guys. We wouldn't be able to do this show without you listeners. And whether you're a patron or not, whether you've put in an iTunes review or not, but damn it, put in an iTunes review if you're not a patron. And if you are, do it anyway. You know, this show, like, exists because we saw a vacuum. I've said it before.
Yeah.
There was not a standard podcast. There are now, but there was not a standard podcast 2 years ago. And we've been passed by some of the big boys, and I don't care. I'm having more fun. But I love doing this show. I'm so thankful for you guys and for letting us, you know, for coming alongside us and just being a part of things and, you know, jumping in our chat and listening to Steve trying to bait me into some stupid bet. You know,
that you'll inevitably lose.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing it. So.
You still owe me a boostie.
Yeah. So, a boostie A? You got it. Are you a D cup now? What are we looking
at? I'm still like lowercase A. I don't know.
So, again, we're starting year three. We had our Patreon call last week, and we only had one patron show up. But, I mean, I did send it out to the others. We're going to get some feedback from them. So if you're a patron, make sure you're checking the Patreon feed. I did put the audio from that call up as well as send the notes out. So we'd love to have you guys give us some info on that.
We definitely take all your guys' feedback to heart. Some of the things that we've implemented in the show have been direct results of suggestions by the patrons. So, you know,
right.
You guys have a voice in the show.
One of the things we're going to start doing is, because we kind of walked away from doing the monthly drawings for the patrons, we're going to get back to that. I just need to find out, if you're a patron, you need to let me know in Discord if you can, if you've got the ability to play Paper Magic, because we'd love to have you sit in Commander, or to the playcast. So, we'd really like that. And don't forget the win-a-box, which is the other thing we want to talk about. We're going to close the show with tonight. Is we are doing our quarterly or every standard set win-a-box event. So we did have our call Saturday. We talked it over with Anthony and us. And we really kind of feel like last time we had Historic Artisan, and that seemed to be a really good match. It allowed you to not have a ton of, and this is an arena, by the way, to not have a ton of wild cards, okay? Everybody's got, you know, uncommon and common wild cards.
Yeah, for the most part, you should, yeah.
So, hey, Spiral, how are you, buddy? Yeah, so we're doing, you know, we're going to do that again. We instituted a ban list because we realized that shit's on fire, all right?
I mean, we straight up stole the one from Arena, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, we took it from MTG Arena Zone. It's in the Discord. How do you sign up? So, listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. The last two times we've done this, we've been very lucky, but it has been a very, very manual process in that it required you to email me. I put you into a Google Doc, and then, you know, I had to respond to you, and then we had to chase you down for a deck list and make sure that you were in and make sure everything was going good and that you're in America and all this. We're not doing that this time. I've automated it as best I can. It's going to be integrated almost exclusively through our Discord. So, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Go to that site. Join into the Discord. There's Kaldheim information right there. It says Kaldheim Tournament, I do believe, down on the lower left. It's a category.
Yep.
And there's instructions in there. And believe me, the people in our Discord are fucking awesome. And we will help you because we want to get the 64. So, we are limiting this to 64 players only. So between now and Wednesdays, when you listeners and you Discord people have access to this, okay, our patrons had it over the weekend. Now it's Discord and our listeners who listen to the live show and listen to the podcast. I'll get the podcast out tonight. So you guys have until Wednesday. Wednesday during the day at some point, I will start blasting this to the various groups I'm in. After that, we'll fill up quickly. So again, if you know, I want this to be our listeners primarily, but I also want to have a really good event. So if you want to play, first of all, you need to have an arena account. Second of all, you need to be in the U.S. If you're not in the U.S. and you want to play, that's fine. You just can't win the box. Okay, if you want to have us donate it to a deserving kid from my old job, that's fine. Anthony and Steve cannot play since they're Commander Craft hosts. However, I think Steve is going to play for one of the Glenmont kids. I think Anthony might also choose somebody else who can't play. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to let you do that, okay? You can play for somebody else. Aramis and I, of course, will not even do that. That just, you know, that screams of not fair. It is Historic Artisan. It is best of three. It's in arena. You have a week to get a match in. It's very similar to how it's been before. The rules will be going up probably tomorrow. So if you want in, go to our Discord, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's in the show notes. It's on our website. It's in our Twitch. It is out there. I've managed to make it very easy. So again, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Join the Kaldheim tournament on the left side. Get in there. Sign up. 1 in 64 chance. The first 64 people have the spots. All right, and I staggered it so that my patrons got it first, and after that, you know, so you're now in the second tier. If I fill 64 out of this second tier, I won't even go to the Facebook forums. But, you know, let's get it done. So, and that's our way of saying thank you to you. That's provided by Kerwin's Game Store. They provide the box. They will mail you the box. We never see it. It's all yours. It's not going to be opened. It's totally sealed, and it's all yours. And it's, as I understand it, it's always been a pretty great package. So we're very excited for this. And Steve, you'll sign up, but it'll be for Nick. So you'll, because Nick doesn't have an arena name. So you have to sign up, but we are aware that you're playing for Nick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Aramis, do you have any other thoughts about the last 2 years or the Winter Box?
Well, the Winter Box, I don't remember if you mentioned it or not. If there happens to be a situation where a bye needs to be awarded, we want to make sure this clear.
Well, I didn't because this system we have, I think it's gonna randomize it completely. I don't think I have a way to mess with it.
All right. Well, if not, we'll check on that. But our plan right now is to award the bye to a patron of some level.
Right.
If the system ends up being totally randomized, that's out of our control, and it is what it is. But if we have control of the buy and a buy needs to be awarded, we will be awarding it to the patron. That's not to encourage or force you guys to join our Patreon. We would never do that. It's a perk of theirs.
They deserve some perks because we took a few away this year with the and our, here's the thing, our patron program, this is kind of a surprise, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Aramis and I are looking at playmats. Aramis and I are going to get some playmats for us, but I think if you've been a patron for a year straight, we're gonna figure out a way to send you a playmat too. It'll be a Planestalker playmat. But, you know, be on the lookout for that. So stick with the Patreon. But... and it's a Planeswalker level. I don't know. I can't justify it for the $1. I just can't.
They're expensive playmats.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, but definitely if you stay a Planeswalker level patron for a year, you know, there are going to be some more perks coming.
Yeah.
So, all right. With that, then, I think we're fit to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's hit this thing, then.
Heads up.
All right, both Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Although I haven't streamed Arena in a while. look up Planestalkers podcast there. But we also stream our show. We also stream the Playcast. Everything goes through Twitch.
There's
so.
No device capable of audio playback connected.
Oh. Thank you, Siri. I love my new Apple Watch, by the way. This thing kicks ass. Look up Planestalker podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And if you want an exercise in futility, you can follow me on Twitch at RMechWRX, because most of the time that I stream, which hasn't been for a while, unfortunately, because of life reasons, anytime I do stream, it's going to be on the Planestalkers podcast channel. So look for me there. And that'll really be the best chance you have to see any additional content that we put out on Twitch. If Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow the show that way, you can find us at Plains Talker Pod on Twitter. We're not banned like some people.
No. Oh, wow. Shots fired.
And you can't respond either.
And for even more futility, I have a personal Twitter as well. It's at WR Benson, but let's be honest, folks. I'm really on there to only follow my absolute favorite musical recording artist, Gerardo. So. Rico.
Oh, I was just getting into
it. Yeah, no. That's not happening. But it's at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Plainstalker, not Plainstalkers, because somebody took it. No, wait. I mean, we took that last S off for savings.
Oh.
And like and follow our page there. And reminder, again, if you want in on the Kaldheim, our Discord is discord.plainstalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, if you want to send us an email, you can send us emails. And even, you know, if you want to send us a suggestion for the show, ask for advice, maybe have a rules question, anything like that, or a comment, you can email any of us, all of us, at the same time? At the same time.
Everyone!
So the global email address, I guess you should
the
say.
Global.
The global address for global. Our email is global. podcast@plainstalkerspodcast.com.
That word's fun to say, global.
It does. It is fun to say global. They used to have global enchantments. Now it's
global. Just say that for a second. Whoa. If you're in your car, just stop for a second.
Global.
Global.
Now the word has lost.
It's a fun word.
It's lost all meaning to me now. Thank you. It hasn't.
And then there are stupid words like door. I feel that door is a stupid word.
Door.
It just sounds dumb.
Door.
Why is it the swear words are so much fun to say? Fuck.
I don't know.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, yeah, podcast at plainstalkerspodcast.com. Those emails you send to that address get sent to both of us, so we both get the chance to read it. If you want to send an email to either one of us individually, you can send Will an email, will@plainstalkerspodcast.com. If you want to send me an email so we can gloat together about 52 to 1, see how they snuck that in there?
And fuck you.
That address is Aramis, A-R-A-M-I-S, at plainstalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which is on hiatus. Thank you, COVID. So Legends TV Talk, which is the name of the podcast, is also kind of on hiatus. But how we've been filling the time is we've actually been playing Minecraft as a group. We play with another podcast called Flash TV Talk. And we're all on this server called Flashcraft. So you'll see me play a lot. I throw it up on Plains Talkers Podcast and stuff. Find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. You know, we'd love to, you know, especially if you like DC stuff. We do have, I forgot about this because it was last month. We do have an iTunes review. So I do want to go into that real quick because iTunes reviews are wonderful. As we mentioned before, we really need them to kind of bring eyes to the show. If you feel like you can't be a patron, and I totally understand that in this podcast.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or in this climate.
In this world.
Listen, this is really how you want to help the show.
Globally.
This helps the show. Just download iTunes to your computer. You know, sign up for an Apple account. Go in, find the show, and leave us a review. Trey Byrne left us one on December 15th. It said, Plains Talkers is one of my favorite podcasts. It's a great mix of standard metagame analysis and other topics when standard gets boring or broken.
Yes, which has been both in the last year.
Yes, really a lot, actually. They also have hosted virtual tournaments in the past, and I hope they continue to do so. Trey, I hope you'll be joining us for this one. Shout out from Albany County. Woo! Represent.
Nice.
Love to hear all the upstate New York references. I'm sure he's talking about Kerwin's Game Store. It's probably how he found us. But definitely, if you leave us a review, and please, listen, folks, 5 stars. It's like Uber. Okay, if you leave me 4, if I'm getting left 4 stars, I feel like I probably pooped on your desk. Okay, like, it's either 5 or you suck.
Well,
it's kind of how five, iTunes looks at
if it's,
it.
If it's, I guess, in the sense of wanting to make sure the podcast gets more eyes, if you feel like you can't leave a 5-star review, send us an email. Tell us what we did wrong.
Yes.
And we'll see what we can do to fix that.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, if you're reading the chat, I don't know how. Is that a bot? That's a bot, right?
I'm not sure.
The name is Opie's Tits. I feel that's
is
a
bot. Is he referencing small birds?
Is he representing, or is he saying Ron Howard's boobs? I want to know which one he
that
means.
That could be either. You know, it's a global question.
Global.
He's talking about globes.
Okay, we better get the hell out of here. Okay. So we want to again say thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. It's the start of season 3. He's not a bot, he says.
This is awesome. Hi, guys.
You know what? Hold on. Here's the thing. Yeah, we got to start that again because that just...
the name is gold. I love it. I love the name.
The name is gold. I'm wondering... Wait. Sir. Are you Donald Trump? Are you hiding? Is that... Because red hair and boobs. Trump has both.
Is that even
I'm
his
just
real
saying,
hair?
It could be. Huh?
Is that even his real hair?
Well, of course it's not his real hair, but that's probably not his real boobs either. He probably had a job. But in any event, he's not a bot. Cyan's Entertainment sent me here. Well, it's nice to have you, Opie's Tits. Well, we've already earned the explicit, so at this point, I'll make sure to hit that explicit button.
Either way, Opie's things.
Opie's breasticles.
Opie's breasticles.
Opie's chesticles. Yes.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're
glad
here.
Glad you found
Opie's
us. I hope we didn't scare you away. Come back next week,
me
please.
Me too. Please come back. We're a lot more fun. Listen, this is 9.6, and I drank this in less than an
this
hour.
I cannot be held responsible. This is 7-Up, so I don't know what your problem is.
All right. So, and on that note, let's try that again. We're going to get out of here tonight. We want to thank you guys for listening and hanging out with the show. We will be back next Monday with our regular podcast. We'll be back Wednesday with our playcast, where I do believe Anthony has to defend his title.
Wow.
So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you all for being listeners for these great 2 seasons. We're excited to start season 3. And we want to remind you to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. Take care. Have a good week. And we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.